Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Good to be in Casper. I heard some of you snickering when you saw that picture of Vicki and I from 46 years ago. We do. We laugh every time we see it. But we are blessed that God has blessed us. You heard our big news. We are indeed retiring from missions the end of this year. And we are leaving missions, but missions is not leaving us. We love Africa. And you just, you know the old adage, you can take Africa. How is it? You can take the boy out of Africa, but you can't take Africa out of the boy or the farm or whatever. But we love it with all our heart, but we also are so thankful for what God has allowed us to do for the last nearly 30 years, and we're so thankful for you. You know, a lot of pastors say, oh, we get a letter from our headquarters in Springfield, Missouri, saying, oh, this missionary is retired. But we didn't want that to happen to you guys. We wanted to come back and say thank you. We call it our thank you tour. We're here to just express how much we appreciate your prayers, your love, your partnership, your support, your friendship. The first time we came to this church was back when Brother Blauvelt was here, and we've been once, I think, between there. But we are thankful that God has given us the privilege to partner with you guys, and we thank you for everything that you have done. We want to express our appreciation personally to you for what you've done. Vicki?
Well, it is just so delightful. It's such a joy to be here with you today. Thank you for being in the Lord's house on a special holiday for our country. And we celebrate the 4th of July, but we also celebrate the freedom that the Lord gives us as well. As Pastor Zach said, when we came in the sanctuary, we saw the certificates of all of the missionaries who you support, and what a wonderful thing you've done all of these years, and thank you for your hearts for missions and for allowing us, for helping us to be in Africa for so many years. We really, truly are grateful. And as we leave later this year, our assignment, which has been the Africa Oasis Project, is also changing a bit. The focus is broadening a little bit to include in Africa, to include agriculture, women's empowerment, health, and then water initiatives. So the ministry continues on in a little different format. There will be some of these will include teaching and training, but we're thankful for our colleagues who will continue on. You know, the Lord continues to call people. We're just one of many over the years. The Assemblies of God Foundation has been missions all of these years. And early on in history, missionaries went out to many places overseas that they really didn't know very much about, but they left their homes here in America and their families, some of them taking their caskets with them filled with food and supplies and with the thought that they may never return again, and many didn't. Well, we weren't in that situation, but we did say yes to God's calling like they did, and many others are following as well, and our daughter is one of the younger people who have said yes. She's also serving as a missionary, and so many others. And we were talking this morning, and I know that this is camping season, and I believe that there was a young person sometime this last week or two that was called into missions at one of the camps, and I'm so thankful God continues to speak to hearts. And I was one of the most least likely persons, very shy and quiet, and I grew up in rural Nebraska. But you know, God uses all of us if we are simply willing, if we simply say yes to Him in whatever way that He wants us to be used. And so I think it's just a joy to serve him, to be obedient. And so thank you, church, for your obedience too. And thank you for loving him and for loving missions.
Thank you, sweetie. We're still AGWM missionaries, and you could tell AGWM, Assemblies of God World Missionaries, and with the Africa Oasis Project, we have the opportunity, as we are always saying, we bring fresh water and the living water of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of good organizations out there drilling wells in Africa, and bless them. We're not territorial. We want them. They need the water desperately. But the thing that makes us a bit unique is that we use it for evangelism. It's our responsibility as missionaries to tell them about Jesus, about that living water. And to tell them about, say, we say, you're welcome to come and come to the fresh water. Take all you want, but we want you to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me quickly share a scripture with you guys. In Philippians, it says in chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1 with verses 3 through 6, it says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And verse 6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Now, Paul wrote this to the Philippian church. And you know what he was doing? He was doing the same thing we're doing. He's saying, we have been praying for you, we thank you, and we appreciate you. Paul was saying to them, we care about you, and we're praying, thanking them for their support. And he said, I thank God every time I think of you. Vicki and I have committed to pray for the churches and others, but the churches that support us and pray for us and partner with us. And so we have lifted you up in prayer many times, and we believe in prayer. We have we totally believe in the prayers of God's people. We believe that the prayers of God's people make a difference. Vicki and I had a phrase that we used to use. We used all the time in Africa. Often we would say, wow, somebody back home was praying. Somebody back home was praying. As we would face all kinds of dangers and all kinds of activities and successes and failures and everything else, illnesses and we would say, somebody back home was praying. When we went through, we were hijacked at gunpoint many years ago, and they in South Africa, you know, the hijacked capital of the world, and we're proud. No, but they came up to our house, and I pulled up to the gate. I let my wife, my dear, sweet African wife, got out to open the gate, and I was in the driver's seat, okay, over here in South Africa, and she got out to open the gate, and the guy ran up and grabbed her. I always tease her. They didn't know what they were getting a hold of, but another guy jumped in the passenger seat, okay, over here, and pointed a gun at me. And he was in very good English. He said, get out, get out. And so I got out. He was a young kid, 16, 18 years old or something, and the gun was shaking, and he was shaking. And I thought, Lord, don't let him shoot me out of nerves. But anyway, I got out, and they to abbreviate a long story, they stole our vehicle, our speed to light vehicle, by the way. They stole our vehicle and left us standing there. And we said, somebody back home was praying because we were standing there alive. 2 hours later, in our neighborhood, in our area where we lived, a father and his teenage son were hijacked and tragically shot and killed. And so we are so thankful because of the prayers of God's people. We came back to the States after that on our furlough that we take every 4 years, and we came back from visiting with a couple down here in Aurora, Colorado, over breakfast. They said, hey, when did that hijack happen? And I knew exactly. I remember it was tax day, April 15th. And what time did that happen? And you know where I'm going, but I said, well, it was 3:15 in the afternoon. And he said, at 7:15 in the morning, in their devotions that morning, they were calling out my wife, our two kids, and myself by name and interceding for us and praying for us at that morning at the exact same time that we were being saved during the hijack. Yes, we believe in the prayers of God's people. God does those kind of things. We were living in a place called Rustenburg, South Africa, and we sleeping upstairs, and we came down one morning, and the total downstairs was in disarray. The burglar bars were off the windows, and they had stolen my wife's computer. Then anything else they'd get their hands on, they got her passport, our plane tickets. We were getting ready to leave in a few days, and just took a whole lot of things. And when we were sleeping upstairs, we knew they came up and looked at us because our door, we left it open. Well, they had closed it. And my wife says they heard me sleeping. I don't know what she's talking about, but somehow they knew we. And you know, moms, one of the greatest miracles, you mothers, you sleep with one ear open. I know you do. Well, that night, God gave Vicky a deep, deep sleep. She didn't hear a thing, and that in itself is a miracle. But we were so thankful that they didn't hurt us. You know, they were armed, and a man who worked around the area found our plane tickets and your passport and returned them to us. That was a blessing. Anyway, we got back to the States again, and we got a call from one of our a missionary colleague lady. It was a year later, and she said, "You know, we're on such and such a date. I felt such a burden for you guys. Where were you?" We said, "That was the night we got they broke into our home and stole all these things." And she said, "I just felt such a need to pray for you in the middle of the night." She said, "I elbowed my husband, woke him up, and said, 'We've got to pray for Mark and Vicky.' They were interceding while we were being robbed. We believe in the prayers of God's people." Being a typical husband, he went back to sleep, but she continued to pray. We believe in the prayers of God's people. And so pray for your missionaries. You saw that, you know, Vicky and I, we both went through illnesses, and we lived in West Africa for many years and in the country of Togo. Everybody, and we always joke, everybody in America loves our country because it says pizza, Togo, chicken, Togo. Anyway, they just love to, I know, they don't get better. But Togo was a third world country. I was telling someone this morning, if you look at Africa, the big hump on the west side, well, Togo's kind of right there in the armpit of Africa. It's a little tall, skinny country and very undeveloped and third world environment, but beautiful people and wonderful opportunity where we were working with the Oasis Project, drilling wells all over Togo, but also all over West Africa at that time. That was our assignment, and we would drill wells where they were planting churches, and churches would explode. People would come to the water and hear the gospel. We believe that God made a difference. We had the opportunity to tell people about Jesus through the water. And I believe a missionary's responsibility is not necessarily to lead, but to support. Because the African people understand much more the culture, the language, the history, the environment. They can live in places that we can't live. And so we were thrilled and honored to be able to help these where they're planting churches or they have an existing church. And all over West Africa, we could come in and drill a well because people will come. I call water the great equalizer. Everybody comes to the water. Whether you're African, whether you're dealing with voodoo or Muslim or Christian or agnostic, everybody comes to the water. What a great opportunity, just as Jesus did, to tell them about the living water at the well. We have seen so many people come, and you saw in some of the video where people would get excited about the water, first time in forever that they've had clean water. You saw maybe some of the lady crawling way down in a hole in a village called Kajale. And they crawl way down there and with a gourd dip that dirty, filthy water and put it in a bucket and hand it up to a lady who hands it up to another lady to hand it up to the top. And you know, that water was not worth it. It's filthy water. The World Health Organization has statistics that say 80% of all sickness in the world, 80% is caused by unsafe and unclean water. 25,000 people every day, according to the World Health Organization, will die. Today, 25,000 people worldwide will die because of unsafe and unclean water, and 90% of that is under the age of 5 years old. Children are dying of diarrheal diseases and all kinds of illnesses and rashes and all kinds of things because of the unclean water. So we want to touch their hearts and touch their body, help them to understand that this fresh water comes from God. not from some white American with an accent. It comes from God and the local pastor. We always emphasize the local pastor, the local church. And, you know, we've been amazed at how water will open doors for the evangelism. So many stories we could tell you of where a Muslim community said, no, we do not want a church in this community in a village called Kajali, where you saw the lady crawling in the hole. The Togolese Assemblies of God sent a young couple in there to pioneer a brand new church. And boy, they worked hard. And they built a simple little building made out of mud and sticks and would try to, you know, start this church. And the people of the village didn't like them because it was a Muslim village. And they would just, tear down their little building. And you saw where she was getting that water. They wouldn't even let the people of the church, they called them, wouldn't let them go to get water there. They had to go much further to get bad, worse water. So what happened was when the Togolese Assemblies of God asked us to go in and drill a freshwater well in Kajali, we went in, we found the water, happened to be very close to the church, and we drilled a deep well, and we were able to draw fresh water, plentiful water, and people, we put the pump on there, and people rejoiced, and the chief said to the people of the village, he said, you will not bother the people of the church anymore because they brought us fresh water. And if we do bother them, they'll take it away, which, of course, we could never do. We said, everyone is welcome to this water. Everyone is welcome. Come, take all you want. But then they also had the opportunity, the people of the church, the pastor, would share the message of Jesus Christ with them. It's exciting to me to see how God works in so many ways, through the water and any other way we can find. There was a village in Upper East Ghana called Basiyundi. Basiyundi was in a very dry area up there right next to Burkina Faso. And we were asked, the Oasis Project was asked to go in and drill a well. And so it turned out as also to be just kind of between the pastor's house and the church was this where the water was, so we drilled a deep freshwater well. And people came from all over to see it. And so then what would happen is people would come from all over. Well, a Muslim man from a neighboring village, several kilometers away, walked all that distance and brought his container with him. And he came to the well, and Pastor Timothy, a friend of ours, Pastor Timothy, stepped out and saw him and said, yes, come. Come take all the water you want. It's there for everyone. You see, Vicki and I have seen way too many wells where the handles were locked down because they were next to a mosque. And if you want access to that water, you've got to join the mosque. But we said, no, everybody come. So as Pastor Timothy had him come, just take the water. And the man, as he was pumping the fresh water, Pastor Timothy began to witness to him and tell him about Jesus Christ, the living water. And you know, that man accepted Christ as his Savior right there at the well, and Pastor Timothy wanted to baptize him. Well, it was a dry area. They didn't have a baptismal tank or anything. So what he did was he just began to pump as hard as he could and let the water overflow out into the dirt and make mud. And he rolled the man in the mud to baptize him. And I believe God recognized that baptism just as much as if you dunked him in a great tank. You know, and so it was exciting. God's still working. But then, the next three Sundays in a row, the man came back with a different wife each time, and all three wives got saved and baptized in mud. And we thank God that he's using water to reach people with the message of Jesus Christ. Whatever tool it takes to reach people with the message of Jesus Christ. We know that's important. We know missions is important to Jesus because the very last command he gave to his disciples, we all know in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the scripture where Jesus, just before he ascends into heaven, he tells them to wait until the Holy Spirit comes on you. And then he says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The last thing he told them was to take the gospel to the ends of the known world at that time. And by the way, that scripture is misunderstood sometimes. I've had pastors tell me, well, our mission field is our community, and we're really working. And I said, well, that's great. That's not what Jesus said. He didn't say Jerusalem, Judea, and then Samaria, and then the end. He didn't say that. He said, and. That's why you have a missions board back on that wall with certificates of people around the world, and that's why you're doing things to reach your own community right here. He said, do them all at once. There's an old mission saying that says, the light that shines the farthest shines the brightest at home. You show me a church with a burden for the world, I'll show you a church with a burden for their community. Whatever your outreach is here, God bless it. Thank you for what you do here in this area. Thank you for the way you reach people. Pastor Zach has told me you've had new folks come to your church, and whatever way they get here, we're so thankful they can come or hear the gospel, whatever way you use. But you also have a burden to reach the world. To reach the world. The mandate from God is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. You know, there's a missions theme that we used to use a lot that just says, until the whole world knows. And so, you know, I tell people, hey, missionaries are nothing special. I mean, look at it. They're just people that work a long ways from home, but we're just regular folk. Vicki was raised on a ranch up in north central Nebraska, a little town called Ainsworth. She was 25 miles from town. First time I went out there, I thought we were so lost, I had no clue. I was working with a pastor. I was just a young kid, and this pastor took me out to meet a young man. So we got a young man that's kind of wandering and needs the Lord. I want you to meet this young man. He never told me the young man had an older sister. I'd really got out there. The young man wasn't there. I didn't really care. To be in all honesty, I really didn't. I met this sweetheart girl, and a lot of years later, a year or so later, we were married. We've been married 46 years. And she, That's for her, because the more you get to know me, the more you appreciate her. She's pretty amazing. Yeah, really. I believe in it. Vicki, you know, she was the quiet, shy little thing on the ranch, and I was a preacher's kid. My dad always pastored rural community, little small towns hither and yon, and God took us to Africa. He could have never convinced either one of us, but he had a plan, just like he has a plan for your life. He wants you to be a missionary. He wants you to pray. If God puts it in your heart to pray for somebody, pray for them. If it's a case where you're supposed to just fall on your face and intercede for God, that's fine. You do that. Or maybe he just puts somebody across your, on the way to the office. Or the office, listen to me. On the way to the church this morning, I told Vicki, I just thought of Pastor David Akunzi back in Tamale in Ghana. And I just prayed for him. Just your family, your pastor, your pastoral staff, your children, your grandkids, just whisper a prayer for them. Don't ever say, well, yeah, when I have my devotions, I'll do that. No, just pray. Just pray whenever the opportunity arrives. God has a plan. God has a plan. And it's very close to his heart that we pray for those around us and that we pray for the world. I know it's Independence Day. Not to be confused with 4th of July. That's a date. I'm sorry. I got to be real. I believe in 4th of July. It's great. It's fun. I mean, you know, I thought, I don't know, June 15th was a pretty good day. I don't know. But I also believe it's Independence Day. We have a right to be thankful. I've lived overseas a long time, and I can tell you without question, when I see the flag go by, it makes my heart flutter. I am so thankful. I mean, we'd go to the embassy on the 4th of July for celebrations in Togo or whatever, and they would pass out Heinz ketchup, and we were glad to get it. But it was not just for Heinz ketchup, but we're so thankful for this country, warts and all. I don't care what your political persuasion is. I've got mine too, but that's not what I'm here for. But I want you to know I am thankful to be an American, be a child of God in the United States, where we can gather together, we can pray, we can sing, we can rejoice, and there are places you can't do that. You can't do that unless you're meeting secretively or whatever, but you cannot kill the church of God. My eyes are on him, not on our political leadership or whatever. I mean, I'm so sorry for some of the things we've seen the last few years. Of course, the COVID and a lot of other things. But I am so thankful that we're still in the United States and we can still get together and we can still praise the Lord. And so I am thankful. I'm thankful for everyone who fought to make it that way. And so I'll get off my soapbox, but we've got to understand God wants us to take the gospel to the world and right in our own home backyard. I was in a church. We were in a church a few weeks ago the pastor was encouraging the people to go to the school board meeting that was coming up, because the school board, they were in first and second grade sex education. They were teaching and having drag queens teach about trans, whatever. He said, let's go to the school board. I'm just saying, pray, activate if you want to, but pray. We are still a great nation. We are still children of God. And he, you know, it's amazing. I read a book years ago called, I forget what it was called, but it was by Gordon MacDonald, and he said, only God can take a crooked stick and draw a straight line. Have you ever seen the Old Testament? Some of those kings were mean and nasty, and God would use them. And I think in our country today and in our world today, there's a lot of crooked sticks, but God can still draw a straight line. I'm a pretty crooked stick myself. I'm not perfectly in order and everything, but God can use us. So we need to keep praying for the world and for our country. And it says in Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. People ask me, oh, is this the end times? I don't know. We better live today like it is. Lord could come today. He could. Or maybe it's not when he's ready. We've always said God's on African time. You know when he's going to come? When he's ready. That's the way we start church and do everything in Africa. When do you start? When you're ready. When do you finish? When you're done. I won't do that to you this morning. I know there's a clock. But God has a plan for you and a plan for me. And, you know, we've talked about the Oasis Project. We have seen so many things that God has blessed us with. I love padded chairs and air conditioning and PA system. I love it. It's wonderful. But I also know you can have church without electricity and under a tree with a couple hundred people, and you're sweating yourself to death, and they're praising God, and they're making noise with anything they've got to sing with. And, you know, don't get me wrong, I love it here. But I also know the presence of God is where we want to be, whatever form it may take. I want to close with a song. You know, the story in John chapter 9 where Jesus meets the woman at the well, and he tells her, you know, you can drink this water, but he says you'll be thirsty again. But if you drink the living water, you'll never thirst again. And this song says you'll never thirst again, but at the beginning you'll hear, I've slapped it together myself, but there, you know, I happened to have the recorder going when some ladies in a village called Chito, they have nothing of this world's good. It's a very impoverished little place, but they don't know that. They just love the Lord with all their heart, and they were singing and praising, having a ladies' prayer time and everything. And so you'll hear the ladies singing, and I had to write down what they said because they're speaking the Ewe language, and I speak very little Ewe. And it says we are thanking God that he loves us, and thanking God that he cares about us. To those of us, they were just rejoicing. So this song just simply says, you'll never thirst again. You'll never find her story in a fairy tale. She was unlike the other women at the well. Her heart was full of pain, hurt, rejection, her loneliness she didn't want to show. But Jesus saw the desert in her soul. Drink from this water, drink from this water, and you'll never, you'll never.
never thirst again. Oh, drink from this water, drink from this water, and you'll never thirst again. Search for something to fill us up inside, but it's only an illusion. You know a true love's hard to find, but I'm here to tell you there's one place your thirst is quenched forevermore. You will never leave there disappointed. You'll find what you are longing for. Drink from this water. Drink from this water. And you'll never thirst again. Oh, drink from this water. Drink from this water. Place of every need, and only He can make the wounded whole and make the blind man see. Drink from this water, drink from this water, and you'll never thirst again.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.life or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.